Visitors, we're trying to memorize some Bible verses here in this church this year, and we want you to be a part of that as much as you can. But in order to do that, we need to quote our Bible verses together. Are you ready, church? Psalms 119, verses 10 and 11. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I've hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, 10 and 11. One more time. Now, wait a minute. You didn't do it right. Hang on. Some of you started quoting the verse. You can't quote the verse without giving the location, all right? Location at the first, location at the end. Otherwise, you don't know where it is. Ready? Psalms 119, 10 and 11. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I've hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Psalms 119, 10 and 11. Now let's make it practical. This verse says that if we're going to overcome sin in our lives, we've got to get this book in our hearts. And that's why that lesson last Sunday talked about it takes time to be holy. And this very lesson today is in a parallel with that lesson from last Sunday that is intended to encourage you to change your lifestyle. Because there are four imperatives from God. You look at this verse, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1, and you see in this verse that Moses calls all of Israel together and says, O Israel, hear, listen to God. Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. I want us to take from this first verse of these seven verses from Deuteronomy chapter 5, four imperatives from God. We need to understand the setting of this text. The setting of this text is in the book of Deuteronomy, and the word Deuteronomy means second law, and so it's the second time that God gives the Ten Commandments. As the verses were read to us, you may have recognized that verse 7 had the first of those commandments that said, you shall have no other gods before me. And the rest of those 10 commandments are found in Deuteronomy chapter 5. But there is this preamble to all of these 10 commandments because of the importance of these 10 commandments. Do you understand that these commandments form the preamble to Judaism, much like the Beatitudes of Jesus form the preamble to Christianity. Here we have God bringing all of Israel together and tells them of these commandments. But not only do we have these commandments given here, there are instructions about how to use these commandments. You see, God not only gave them the Bible, God not only gave them His statutes and judgments and His commandments, but He taught them how to use them. And so there are four imperatives that are found before you come to the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And they are imperatives not only for individuals then, but imperatives in a sense for us. If those things that happen unto them are written for example, and they're written down for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, and Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 that says, those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Surely you and I need to understand that as we look at how God wanted individuals to know His will and to learn His will and to let the Bible change their lives, that the imperatives He gave to them are the imperatives that He gives to us. By implication, God said, here's my law. I've written it down. With my very finger I have inscribed these words on those tablets of stones. And so in the very next chapter He would say, You fathers, teach them diligently unto your children. First place them in your own heart, then teach them diligently unto your children, and talk of them when you're at home and when you're out walking by the way and when you're lying down and when you're rising up. You see, God not only gave them the Bible, He gave them instructions as to how to take these words and make these words come alive. You see, the difference in the Old Testament is not that they were written on tables of stones and the New Testament is written on the tablets of our heart. That's not the difference. The very nature of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, you take these words, Old Testament words, and you write these Old Testament words on your heart. How do you do that? Don't you long to have God's Word in your heart? Don't you long to be able to be like David and say, Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against Thee? How do you do that? In a very practical way. How do I take these words that were written on tables of stones for those individuals in the Old Testament time and written on paper, how do I take the very words of God and how do I get these words a part of my life? And that's the whole intent of the lesson today, to look at these imperatives. The first imperative from verse 1 is, hear, O Israel. I think it's tragic that sometimes we read the Bible and just jump right through and get ahead of ourselves. I think it's tragic that as we read the Bible, because we want to get down to those Ten Commandments, we don't take time to look at every word. When Moses called Israel together, the first thing he said is, listen. Stop and listen. You see, if you'd been there at Mount Sinai, if you'd been there at the foot of that mountain, you would have heard the voice of God. And now Moses says to those people who were there at Mount Sinai as youths, because now 40 years have passed and it was their fathers who were and parents who were in the predominant position, and now 40 years have passed, and Moses says to that second generation, just like your fathers at Mount Sinai were to listen to the voice of God, listen, stop, listen. You would have done that on Pentecost, would you have not? On the day of Pentecost, whenever you were convicted of your sins and you heard Peter said, you have crucified the very Son of God, would you not at the very time that Peter was about to say in verse 38 what you must do in order that you might be saved, would not your ears have been so attuned to everything that was going on? Why? Because of the importance of those things that are there. And brother and sister in Christ, you and I need to come to a realization that whenever we're at the foot of Mount Sinai, or whenever we're at Pentecost, or whenever we find ourselves with this book in our presence, that it is God speaking to us. You tell me in a practical sense, what is the difference from standing at the foot of the mountain and hear the voice of God said, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And 40 years later for Moses to say, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And for 1,500 years later, for a New Testament Christian, for an individual there to read these very same words, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Or 2,000 more years later, we stand and we open up this very same book. What's the difference? God is speaking every time. And if we're going to change our lives, if we're really going to get serious about Christianity, if we're going to stop playing church, then we need to understand that it is God who is speaking. Folks, this is serious. It's serious. We ought to come into the presence of this book with awe and reverence and respect. You would have done that at Mount Sinai, wouldn't you? If you'd been a young person there at the foot of that mountain and you'd seen that mountain on fire and you heard the voice of God, wouldn't you have just, wouldn't you, your whole focus and your whole attention been up there? But that very same attitude that those individuals had at that mountain is the very same attitude that we need to have every time we come into a place where God is speaking. I'm not talking about showing respect to a Bible class teacher. I'm not talking about any personal respect or disrespect that might be shown to an individual who is standing in this pulpit. But I'm talking about the seriousness of us listening to God speak. Folks, this is all I've got. And it's all you've got. It's not in man that walks to direct his. I don't know how to serve him. I don't know how to live. I don't know what's right. I don't know how to respond in life situation. This is all I've got. And I look up to the God of heaven and I say to the God of heaven, God, tell me how to live. God, tell me what you want my family to be like. God, tell me what you want my marriage to be like. God, tell me what you want my workplace to be like. God, tell me what you want this church to be like. And then we need to just look up to God and listen to God as He speaks. And He says, I'll tell you, I'll answer every bit of that for you. And all the opportunities we have to hear. We are so blessed in the matter of private study. I sometimes wonder what the Apostle Paul would have done to have a concordance in his life. I sometimes wonder what a New Testament Christian would have felt like to have had a Bible map. Mount Sinai, he knew. Sodom and Gomorrah, he knew. Nineveh and Assyria, he knew. But all of a sudden, in the very back of my Bible are all of these maps. And there's a place that says, now if you want to find the city, you look under B7 or under A4 or someplace like that. And I can go and I can look. I've got all of these Bible helps to study. When I say Kadesh Barnea, it's not just a name. It's a place on a map. And then in the back of this Bible, I've got a concordance that tells me it's not complete, but there are those complete concordances that are so available to us that any word that God ever spoke, I can find every time that word's found in the Bible. You think about the church library we have and those hundreds of books that we have down in the church library. You think of the bookstore that we have here, where for just a few dollars you can go and you can buy books that if you want to know what God says about the tongue, you can just look up and there's every time, every verse in the Bible, everything the God of heaven ever said about that. I want to learn to control my temper. I want to deal with anger and wrath. Just think of how easy it is in this day and age to study. To say nothing of those tools that are available on the internet. And the computer age in which we live allows us to study beyond a depth that our fathers would have given anything to have been able to have. But there's a seriousness about Bible study. And I'm not trying to guilt anybody into studying the Bible. That kind of study doesn't profit all of that much. But I'm talking about the very things that we're trying to do, and that is whenever last week we prepared a devotional guide of 1 Peter. So you take 30 minutes a day. And taking 30 minutes a day, go through a guided study with not just questions that are designed to help you find answers of facts or things of that nature, but questions that are designed to help you apply these things to your heart and to your life. Private study. Why? Because God wants to talk to you. That's why. That's the exact the why of it. And this morning, as you leave, there's a second study that's available in the back on the table and also on the welcome desk, and that is a study of the Psalms. Why wouldn't you want to take 30 minutes every day this week? Why wouldn't you want to change your life? 30 minutes is not that big a change. Turn off the television. Cut down on whatever recreation that you have. Sleep time if necessary. And just open up the Word of God and walk through the book of Psalms. You see, there are Psalms about adversity. There are Psalms about purity. There are Psalms about the home. There are Psalms about praising God. And those study guides are available. And I don't want to guilt you into it. That's not what this lesson is all about. It's to try as a servant of God to talk to servants of God begging you to change your life. We need to stop and listen when God speaks. There's those private study. And then there are all the Bible classes. Can you imagine what a New Testament Christian would have given to share in the Bible classes that are available to you? You stop and think about it. The hours and hours that are spent in making preparation to teach the Word of God. Why wouldn't you want to come? Why is that discrepancy so great between those who come at 9 o'clock and those who come at 10 o'clock? Those of you who weren't at Bible class this morning. Are you really spiritually that strong? Are you really able to have faith strong enough that you don't need to come and to listen to God speak? I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm trying to help you change your life so you can go to heaven. And why that discrepancy between Sunday morning worship and Sunday night worship? Why? You think of those recent lessons we've had on Sunday nights. And I dare say that those of you who were not here last Sunday night haven't studied the book of Nahum in the last 25 years of your life, if ever. Am I right? Why would you not want to get inside the Word of God and hear God as He talks through Nahum to the nations that were there? What is it that is so important in your life that these things that are so readily available to hear God speak? It bothers me no end when sometimes I'll preach a sermon and somebody will say, "Well, I don't agree with what Dan said." Folks, if I know my heart and my design in preaching, it's not for Dan to say anything. It's for the God of heaven to speak. And if what is spoken is from God, it's not disagreement with Dan. Hear, O Israel. That's an imperative from God, and we need to hear it. Think about the seriousness of this. And I beg of you to pray about it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If you don't come to Bible class, you don't come to Sunday night worship, Wednesday night Bible class, will you pray that God will give you wisdom as to whether you ought not to be here, whether you should be here or not? There's a second imperative. Hear, O Israel, and learn. Learning is different from hearing. There are a lot of people that hear that never learn. We've already talked about the many tools that are available to help us learn. But we've got to understand that just because you hear something doesn't mean you've learned it. I remember preaching as a younger preacher in the presence of older men who I've deeply respected. I remember how they would reverently open up the Bible and they might make some note in the edge of their Bible. Why? Because they were learning. Are you learning? What do you know about this book? Moses comes off of Mount Sinai and he has those Ten Commandments to give to the people. Are you learning anything? Hear, O Israel, and learn. I want to tell you something. I'm prepared this morning to give every one of you a full month where you don't have to go to work to study the Bible. Interested? A full month where you don't have an obligation to study the Bible, to go to work. Go to school, forget it. I'm going to give you a full month this year. You interested? Suppose you took a half hour a day. If you took 30 minutes every day this year and studied the Bible. By the end of this year, you would have studied the Bible 182 and a half hours. That's 30 minutes a day. 182 and a half hours is 4 45-hour weeks of doing nothing but studying the Bible. You believe if you took the next month to study the Bible, you'd know anything? You think you'd be closer to God? All I'm asking you to do is to add 30 minutes to your life. Now, you may want to add more than that, but all I'm asking you to do is to give yourself a full month of Bible study this year. No other obligation. 30 minutes a day is a full month of your life studying the Bible. Would your heart be changed? Think of the impact that'd have on you. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Would you be stronger spiritually? Would your faith in God be stronger? Would your values be different? Now then, suppose you did this with your family. Mamas and daddies. Suppose you just said to your family, we're going to study the Bible 30 minutes a day together. What impact would it have in your life? Hear, O Israel, and learn. The third imperative I take from the King James. The New King James has the word, be careful. The Old King James says, and you keep these things. The third imperative is to keep. Hear, O Israel, and learn and keep. You can't keep something unless you make a conscious effort to do it. I'm going to retain this. I'm not just going to put it inside my memory. I'm going to put it inside my heart. You see, this is not optional. These are imperatives. Now, over against that is the fact that our forgetterware never stops working. And the older I've gotten, the more forgetful I am. I've arrived at the point where I can't remember people's names. You have that? Talked to my big brother just last month, and he said, "Dan, I've got this most amazing book about how to remember people's names. The best thing I've ever read in my life. It's just a masterpiece." He then said, "But I can't remember what I did with it." Think about it. Just because I'm getting older doesn't mean that I can just let these things start slipping out of my heart. You see, if I don't keep these things in my heart, my faith gets weaker. It's not that I fill up my bucket of faith and then I just sit back and coast into heaven on the bucket of faith. Oh no, faith weakens. And my devotion wanes. And I stand and I look at the lives of some of the best people I know on this earth, and I see your devotion to God not being what it used to be. My heart aches when I see you not growing like you were at one time, when you're not living as close to the Lord as you did at one time. My heart aches. But you see, if I don't make a conscious effort to learn these things and to keep these things a part of my heart and a part of my soul, then all of my priorities are going to change. If I know more about Britney Spears and her shaving her head and what kind of tattoo she got, or I know more about the characters on 24, I know more about who's playing in the Super Bowl and the stats about all of the folks in the Super Bowl, or I know about the recruits of the latest football team, and I'd spend all of my time and my energies trying to retain all of those things that really don't matter in the ultimate. My priorities are wrong. And all I'm asking you to do is change your life. Change your life. Because you see, when your faith weakens and your devotion wanes and priorities change, trials are going to come in your life. Mark it down. And when those things happen, you may not survive. Terminally ill spiritually, because I've not heard God speak and learned it and kept it. And the fourth priority is do. I find it amazing that people have any aversion to talking about commandments of God and statutes of God and judgments of God like they're adversarial to faith. Some of the times that religious people are disturbed is because of, I just don't want to be bound by law and by commandments and statutes. Folks, that's the only way God can tell you what He wants you to do. It's the only way your mom and daddy can tell you what they wanted you to do, is tell you what was right and what was wrong. And whenever the Lord says, these statutes and judgments, and then those Ten Commandments are listening, surely we would not think that statutes and judgments and commandments are detrimental to faith. They're just simply faith expressed. And when David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation all the day." Folks, we ought to be thankful that there are commandments from God telling us how we ought to live. But I never think about this word do without thinking about the Lord looking at me, looking at Dan Jenkins, and say, "Dan Jenkins, you are a fool." Would God ever look at any of us and call us a fool? How'd you like to be a fool on the day of judgment and face God? Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Whoever knows these sayings of mine and does them, he's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But whoever knows these sayings and doesn't do them is foolish." Imagine standing at the judgment scene and standing there not having known what was right and not having obeyed God. But there's something worse than that. And that is to have known what His will was and not done it. Folks, there's only one way to avoid God looking at us as a fool. And that is for us to do what's right. Is there something in your life you need to straighten up? Is there something you need to get right with God? Some change you need to make? Jesus said, "You are a fool if you know there's something you ought to do and you haven't done it." But the imperative in the Bible is not only do right, it's do right right now. I want to beg every one of you listening to me this morning to make changes in your life. I'd beg every one of you this week to find some avenue, maybe this is the very one you need, to add 30 minutes to your life every day. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Here I am, God. I want to go to heaven someday. Please tell me what you want me to do. And God speaks, and I need to listen to Him, hear Him. I need to learn what He wants me to do. Then I need to keep it. Then I need to do it. And that's all I'm asking you to do. To listen to God, change your life. You see, you can't go to heaven if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You're talking about doing right and doing right right now. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. "He that believeth not shall be damned." That's God speaking. You can't go to heaven unless you repent. The Bible says in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, "Except you repent, you'll perish." That's God talking. And when God talks, He says you must confess your faith in His Son. That's God speaking. And it is God who through the Holy Spirit gave these words, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And it is God who says, "I'll then add you to my family, to the church. And what I want you to do is to live faithfully until you die. And a crown of life I'll give to you." Listen to God speak to your heart. And if you need to respond, do so by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?